Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get funky, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Danny Ings has gone to Villa and Louis van Gaal is back. It's Thursday, 5th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, one and all, to your Thursday ramble. How are you, Pete Donaldson?
I'm good. I feel bad that everyone else's background on Zoom or whatever unlovable bit of software we're using is yours is beautiful. So is Andy, and I'm in what can only be described as a little kill room that I've made myself. I sort of did a bit of DIY a little while ago, put some stud walling in, and I'm still waiting for my fabric.co.uk to deliver some upholstery. So that's why my background looks so terrible. So if you see this on Twitter, I'll apologise now.
It doesn't show, actually, PC. I mean, the thing is, because of the editing process and the head and shoulders business, you never know the full picture. I mean, we're actually moving house, and I'm standing in Lego.
Have you made yourself a little Lego brace for your legs just to protect yourself for the moving process?
If I don't laugh at any of your jokes at any point, it's because if I laugh too vigorously, I might crush the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, right. Andy, that's exciting and also upsetting. There is nothing more upsetting, especially with, I presume you live in quite a large house with, big enough for a family. It's quite stressful to move house at the best of times, even with just one person moving.
Well, you guys are helping next week, obviously.
Yes, okay, yeah, I'll be COVID-free.
He lives
by then.
In London. He can't be living in a large house, for crying out loud.
Andy Brassel has been at the top of the journalism game for about 15 years, Marcus Speller. You know that, I know that. He is minted. They always say journalists, they make so much money. That's what they always say.
Yeah, them and school teachers are hoovering up all the cash. Andy, how much do you make? I'm joking.
Are you rich? Yeah, I'm rich.
Is he Jack Grealish rich?
That's right. Direct your question to a little man going up the M6.
Yeah. You're not going to Manchester as well, are you? Imagine Man City is signed Andy to be their in-house journalist. All we want is PR, good PR and propaganda. Well, gentlemen, things ramped up yesterday at Manchester City with their pursuit of Jackie Grealish. They're closing in on his signature with one or two big media outlets saying it's done. It's absolutely done. Mm. So probably by the time we finish recording this podcast, it will be done. But that's what's being recorded at this moment in time. It could be concluded in time for him to play in the Community Shield against Leicester City on Saturday, which of course would be a lovely old job for Jackie Grealish to be back at Wembley, Peter, because we enjoyed his performances at the Euros there.
I don't think you should be allowed to play in the Community Shield if you weren't part of the squad that played last season.
Who won
season.
It? Who got you in that final?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's not fair for me.
Do you think you could be cup-tied for the Community Shield? Is that what it is?
I think you should be. Look, if we're going to treat this as a big cup, like Jose Mourinho did and does, I think we should treat it with the respect it clearly doesn't deserve. So, no players who didn't play last season, thank you.
I love it. We're never going to let Mourinho get away with that, are we?
No.
When he referred to that as one third of a treble. it looks like it's going to be done, Andy. Some Aston Villa fans are not happy about that, as you'd expect.
I guess. But I think really when you grow out of being an adolescent, you mm-hmm. realise that people look after their friends and families and move to better jobs for more money because that's important.
Yeah,
and they want to be fulfilled.
Another
as,
come
as,
and
as
get
well.
Me on yeah, this podcast.
I was going to say
another one. Unbelievable! With all your moon money, you've got, you still want more.
Look,
what is this, Andy?
You should see the quotes I'm getting from removers. It's no joke.
Andy's
just
got
back up Falcon the Brinks truck. Yeah.
And he's got so much money, he refers to it as Lego now, apparently. But, so Andy, the message is go out and grab all the cash you can, and Aston Villa fans need to grow up, okay? We've got that loud and clear.
No, it hurts. It hurts. Of course it hurts, because he's someone who's been with the club since he's a kid, because he was the captain, because he re-signed last year, and I guess because it feels like they're really taking off. I mean, the signings that they've been making, certainly before Danny Ings, which we'll come to in a minute, I guess, it felt like they were ones that at least publicly could say, we are still trying to keep Grealish. Because Leon Bailey, Buendia, they can fit around Grealish. You know, there's no necessary replacement there, is there? But I mean, it's super difficult, because at some point, he's not going to stay there forever if he wants to reach the very top. And I think you have to ask yourself, if he'd have left for Tottenham 3 or 4 years ago, it would have been for loads less money.
Yeah,
they'd probably still be in the Championship.
Yeah,
he has given a lot. Just because you love a club doesn't mean you can never leave.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I think that I do agree with what you're saying. When some fans are kind of kicking off Grealish, it is inevitable, of course, as you say, because they've got a love for the player. But it's huge money he's going to go for. And to be honest with you, even if Grealish was quite happy to stay, I don't know what his personal feelings are. Clearly, you know, he's open to a move. But even if Grealish said, actually, I'd prefer to stay, I honestly think the club would go, yeah, it's a lot of money though, isn't it, Jack? Come on, son, do the right thing. You know. So actually, I don't think it is that he's sort of squirming out the door for sort of 30 million or something like that. I think that it would be a good deal all round. And clearly, they've already started spending the old Grealish dosh with Danny Ings coming in. This surprised quite a few people, Peter. What were you doing when the news broke that Danny Ings has signed for Villa? Because everyone else seemed to be caught off guard.
Yeah, well, it was like a proper 90s transfer, wasn't it? Like,
it was.
Not a peep about it. In any other window, this would have, like, rocked everything to its foundation.
Someone phoned the club line.
We had quite quiet windows recently, yeah. Like, you'd rang up the Newcastle United transfer line.
Why then?
49p a minute and just got, we'll be telling you who we're going to be signing next.
49p? You're showing your age there.
Andy, that's still expensive.
So expensive.
It's still expensive now.
We're not like you, Andy. We're not like you. But it was really exciting. It was just like, what? That's just, I mean, you know, one of the stars of England just sort of making the move quite late in the transfer. I mean, it's all of these moves are not ideal for any of the clubs where the player is leaving, obviously, because it's very late and it's very, you know, it's right towards the start of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how Southampton rally.
Yeah, I have to say, I wasn't hugely surprised. I was surprised that we didn't hear much and then he went, because he had made the odd little murmur about perhaps moving on, because he scored 41 goals in 94 Premier League games for Southampton. He's a good player. clearly, Ings. He's got, even though, what is he, 29 now, I think? He's,
29, yeah.
Yeah, he's got aspirations of playing more for England. And Southampton, there's often talk about how they'll get on in the season in terms of will they be in a relegation scrap, will they not? Southampton fans may not appreciate that, but often that's the case. And, I you know, Ings, he did come from Liverpool, we have to remember. He's a very good forward, a very good player. So it doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, it's not hugely surprising that he went there. But apparently, he had 1 year left on his contract. He turned down an extension which would have made him the best player, a best paid player in the club's history on about $100,000 a week. So Southampton were really trying to keep him. But as old Ralphie said, it was clear that we had a player that did not want to play for us anymore. So get him out the door. And they did.
I like the fact that you said that he could have been the best player if he'd stayed. Like the idea that if you pump more money into a player, he becomes really good, like good fuel. Like when you're at the pump and you have that 97 octane stuff and you're like, whoa, if I put a bit more money into Danny Ings, he might be the best player ever played for Southampton. I'd love a bit of that.
It does work as an incentive for some people.
Yeah, a lot of players do work like that, to be fair.
Yeah, well, so does Andy Brassel, yeah.
Feed him Lego.
Yeah. What do you reckon about this transfer, Andy? I mean, Ollie Watkins had a very good season last year. Ings will be operating in a similar area of the field. What are they going to go? 4-4-2?
I feel like they could work pretty well together. I think he feels like he fits into what Villa want to do because he's mobile, super hardworking, intelligent, great finisher. I mean, I think when you consider what happened to him at Liverpool in terms of injuries, the place that he's got himself to is quite extraordinary. I think you have to give him so much credit that he's established himself as a top-ranked Premier League goal scorer. And getting 12 goals in that Southampton team last season is not to be sniffed at. I mean, clearly some people, and I guess some Southampton fans will probably look at it as a sideways move, but you just look at the way that Villa are attacking things in the last couple of seasons. There's genuine ambition. Grealish or not, last couple of summers, there's genuine ambition whatever happens with Grealish, and I think that's it. It's either the choice for him of being at a club like Villa that you feel are going places and you can play all the time, or it's maybe being, you know, a backup to a Harry Kane or something like that. I know he's mentioned as a Harry Kane replacement at some point, but you have to assume that Spurs would go for someone or younger and with that kind of resale, knowing the way that Tottenham approach things. And I think from a Southampton perspective, when it became clear that he wasn't going to ink the new thing, this is a pretty good deal for someone who's got a year left on their contract. So I feel like I'm saying this quite a lot this summer, but I do feel it's a decent deal all round. It gives Villa what they need right at this moment, and it gives Southampton the best possible salvage out of the situation.
Yeah, I quite like your turn of phrase there, Andy. He's not going to ink the new thing.
Yeah, ink the new thing.
Yeah, that does sound like...
He's got no space left on his arms. Have you seen them?
Yeah, well, that is true, actually, yeah. Well, I think it's a good signing for Villa, and I think again, Southampton, I'm very much flying the Luke Moore flag today, but I think with Ings going to Villa at the age of 29, with the quality he's got, I think that is the sort of, for a player of his size, the sort of the big move, that the one sort of last big move you would expect that he would have had in his career, if you see what I mean, to go that sort of slightly level higher. But again, sorry, Southampton. Luke Moore made me say those things. Moving on swiftly, gentlemen, if we can. Chelsea and Spurs played out a 2-2 draw yesterday, with the Chelsea fans singing, "Where the f*** is Harry Kane?" which is quite enjoyable, I think we can all agree. Nuno Espirito Santo said, "I really expect to speak with Harry. I haven't had the chance yet." We know, Nuno, we know. another twist in this saga yesterday was that Son Heung-min liked a Spurs fan's Instagram post that read, "A player is never bigger than the club." Ooh, what do we think of that? What do we read into that, Peter? It made a headline.
I love how like players speak through kind of likes these days. It's like the ultimate kind of internet version of like talking behind your hand. But yeah. What I liked about the match yesterday, which I saw a bit of, was just like, I mean, according to the Spurs YouTube, the title of that video was "It was a super comeback." But on the Chelsea side of the YouTube coin, they were pegged back. So yeah. I don't know who to believe. I don't know who was in the ascendancy, to be quite frank. But there's something lovely about, you know, Harry Kane about to leave Spurs. Spurs having a rough old time with things. And then Chelsea just waving around the European Cup in front of their face before the match. It was brilliant. Great drill goal from Ziyech, and Conte has just not lost a yard at all. He's come back and he looks absolutely thrilling. Blum in love with Conte. But it was, it was quite an interesting match. But yeah, I love the flex of being able to wave one of the greatest cups around before a friendly.
Don't you think it would have been a better flex if after Ziyech scored that goal, N'Golo Kante ran to the bench with all his industry, brought across the European Cup trophy and gave it to Ziyech to like lift in front of the beaten Spurs goalkeeper?
That would have been good. Or got in, you know how he likes little cars? He could get in the little ball car from the Euros and drive it around.
He could do.
That would have been fun.
I heard Timo Werner had a goal disallowed for offside.
He'll do that. He'll do that, Marcus.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to have watched the game to know that, do you?
That's what we like to hear. So Harry Kane, it looks like that he is going to miss the Premier League opener, even if he suddenly decided that he wanted to rush back and he was sorry for his actions, because he's got to quarantine when he gets back because he's been on holiday in Florida. Apparently he's still there. And I'm sorry to kind of put two and two together here, but you know who else is in Florida?
Stop this.
Fizz is in there. And and I just wonder.
I just don't think he'd be interested in a Spurs move, to be honest, Marcus. I just don't think he'd be.
I just wonder if the real negotiation is happening over in Miami currently.
The real negotiation, Marcus, is happening in a room where a man has, in my opinion, poorly, in my view, bought a Steve McQueen motorbike.
Yep. Talking about Harry Kane's brother.
I mean, we touched on Luke like about three or four times during yesterday's show, was trying to bring it up, and Kate was having none of it, absolutely flat-batting it away, which I was very much enjoying.
Yeah, but well, it's open season here. Far away, sir.
The best thing about Harry Kane's brother's office is that they've got the Steve McQueen motorbike, but then they've got these kind of weird bits of carpet that make it look like
it's like
tire tracks leading up to the motorbike. Who makes those?
Yeah.
Who's decided that that looks good? That's the real crime for me, to be quite frank. That's why he should be struck off as an agent.
And is there a discount currently?
And is he standing in Lego out of shot?
Oh, Andy.
Does that only happen after the Manchester City move?
Andy, if they move to Manchester City, they will be up to their armpits in Lego. But with regards to the Steve McQueen motorbike, Is that what's his brother's name? Obviously, it's Mr. Kane.
Barry, I don't know.
All right, fine, yeah. Yeah, okay, great. So whatever it is, Colin Kane or whatever he's called. Is that the plan? If Charlie Kane, sorry, I think his name. Is that the plan then? If they can't strong arm Levy, does he get on the back of the Steve McQueen motorbike with Harry and they do the great escape? Is that the plan B, is it? Don't worry, pal.
I guess so.
Yeah, we're going up to Manchester.
England band playing.
He's going to be locked up at Spurs Lodge in the youth team's changing rooms with a baseball bit.
Absolutely incredible. By the way, Inter Miami drew 1-1 with Orlando last night. Big match in Florida.
Points on the board.
Kieran Gibbs with the goal.
Final.
There you are, you see. Anyway,
Kieran Gibbs with the goal.
Yes, Andy. It's all happening there, and you seem to dismiss it like it's a piece of Duplo rather than Lego.
I'm celebrating it, Marcus.
Oh, well, now you are. Anyway, enough of that bollocks. After the Chelsea-Spurs game, reports emerged that Romelu Lukaku apparently wants to leave Inter if Chelsea make a suitable offer. Lukaku reportedly told Inter to accept a bid from Chelsea. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it, Harry. When the bid comes in, you will accept. It's funny, actually, this, Andy, because we were talking about this. I know it's been, you know, there's been a few chats on the Ramble about this because it's a big story. But a couple of days ago when I was talking about it, it sounded like Lukaku was saying, no, I'm very happy where I am. There was talk that, you know, he's rejuvenated his career at Inter, so why would he want to leave? And it's funny, in the life of a footballer, a couple of days on from that, it's kind of like, yeah, no, well up for a move. Give me the Lego.
what changes there is Lukaku's realization that Inter want to sell as much as possible. That's what's changed, I think. Because when you know that they're entertaining the prospect of Lautaro Martinez to Arsenal, then you're thinking, hang on, I like the new coach, and I think Simone Inzaghi will do well for them. I think as time goes by, you look at Simone Inzaghi, and particularly the first bit of his spell at Lazio, and think, has he been brought in to recreate a competitive team with not a huge amount of resources? Is that the reason why he's here, to replace Antonio Conte? So Lukaku's, he's loved it at Inter. I think he's really found himself. Mm-hmm. He's found success as well. But after you've won Serie A, you don't want to go back to scrapping for a Champions League place, do you? So yeah. I think it's not so much about the money, it's about the project, really.
I see. Well, speaking of Inter, have you seen that Christian Eriksen is back at Inter's training ground?
Yes.
For the first time, of course, since that awful event in the Euros. I mean,
lovely,
it's amazing
scenes
to see this. And presumably, you know, there's a bit of talk. Can he make a comeback? Is that possible? I do find that quite incredible, really.
It's one of those situations, Marcus, where I'm no cardiologist, and God knows I've had a crack
You've
at being
tried,
one.
Yeah,
they won't let me in the hospital.
No.
But they, like, you know, these sort of situations either happen or they don't happen. And it doesn't necessarily need to be about the stress that any heart is under at any one time. So he's got the heart restarting thing in his chest now, and they're sort of saying that, well, look, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing to regain some kind of strength in that area and play again. Maybe not at the level that he's playing now.
Well,
it would be amazing to see.
It would be utterly remarkable if he managed that. I know in Italy they've got quite strong rules, and I think they do in this country as well, and perhaps others, but I know in Italy there is a ban on players if there's any abnormalities in the heart and so on, that is, you know, that's the rule over there. So it would be quite something if he could come back, but I think that's probably still
the close inspection of those issues and the level of cardiac screening. I mean, Kanu says it saved his life, basically, when he was at Inter, and the twist of fate that he went to Inter just changed everything for it.
Yeah. Well, we shall see, gentlemen. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi.
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, and everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness, it's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm quite a placid guy.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's now time for emails.
Yes, we've got one here from Gavin McHugh. It says, with Manchester United pursuing Trippier and City pursuing Grealish, it's a lot of pursuit. There must be some other word for this. With the thing is, in journalism, Gavin, what you've got to do is change the second verb. I would say...
And the City, Lego comes rolling in.
I would have said City taking the M6 toll road.
Yeah.
For Grealish and Kane. Yeah. We face the possibility of an England starting squad consisting entirely of Manchester-based players. Mm. An example, Henderson, Shaw, Maguire, Stones, Trippier, Sancho, Grealish, Foden, Rashford, Kane, Sterling.
Mm. That's a terribly unbalanced midfield. And also, if you think Pickford's not the number one, then you've got rocks in your head. Gavin.
Okay, well, let Gavin continue, please. It says, okay. I suppose what I'm getting at is, should all of England get behind the Manchester clubs for gathering the England squad to one city where they can continue to build their team spirit, with it all culminating in a Manchester derby where both squads walk out hand in hand to three lines and a portrait of Southgate while Roy Keane presumably explodes with rage on the sidelines. Well, I like that. I mean, if we could get to a point where it's cool in England for players to swap shirts at halftime, I mean, I cannot tell you how much I enjoy how that pushes certain people's buttons over here. It's fun.
The Marcus, anybody emailing in the future, just remember that when it comes to England, you cannot be playful in front of Marcus. Serious suggestions only.
Absolutely.
It's very upsetting.
Well, I just think it's disrespectful to Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips, considering the poor performances they put in the Euros. Gavin should be ashamed of himself, quite frankly.
We got an email from Chris Brady. After hearing yesterday about a dad's dilemma of buying his son a football shirt, I thought I would share my tale. Euro 96 was my first memory of a major football tournament. As with any enthused six-year-old, I wanted to dress the same as my newfound sporting heroes during the games and asked my parents to buy me an England football shirt. My parents told me no, and that it was too expensive. On a family trip to Yorkshire, my eagle-eyed dad spotted a knock-off England shirt at a Huddersfield market. He negotiated what he thought was a fair price to pay for the shirt, despite the replica shirt only sporting two out of the three iconic lines on the back. Why do they do that? You're already in breach of copyright. Just do it properly, or don't do it at all. It doesn't matter nothing. When he gave it to me, I was absolutely thrilled. In my naivete, I didn't think it would matter that the logo wasn't quite the same. However, I did note the absence of a player name and number on the back and insisted that we somehow inscribe the name and number of my favourite England star, David Platt. My dad bought a special box, a box of special T-shirt pens.
Oh, here we go.
and with a cardboard stencil adorned the back of the shirt with my name and a large number 7. I was made up and couldn't wait to show off my brand new England shirt at football practice. Needless to say, neither my parents or I anticipated the predictable cruelty of a group of six-year-old schoolboys who proceeded to rip the piss out of me and my monstrosity of an England shirt by harmoniously singing Two Lions on a Shirt for what felt like the entirety of the training session and remainder of football camp.
That is excellent.
There's nothing more depressing than that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Somebody being really proud of what they've just got and the kids just sort of going, no, no, no.
Yeah.
That ain't happening now.
I know. The little sods. That's not Professor Chris Brady, who Luke interviewed, who co-wrote Carlo Ancelotti's, was it Quiet Leadership book? Because if it is, he should know
Don't
a lot
read his
better.
Books. Yeah. Don't read his books. The guy's a joke. The guy's a joke. I once made my own Ferdinand shirt, number 9, with like cut-up felt and fabric pens. It was horrific, absolutely horrific. It was still better than the guy I used to play football with who didn't seem to care about the difference between capital letters and non-capital letters because he was running around with the name Fowier, Robbie Fowier.
Oh, dear.
Don't put the dot on the eye, you idiot.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. You must still have that Ferdinand shirt somewhere back in
You know what? I thought I would have, but I can't find it anywhere, to be honest. I was thinking about it this morning, to be fair, when I saw that horrendous email. It makes me sad.
Well, there we are. Get your emails in to show@footballramble.com. Gentlemen, we move on to the big news that Louis van Gaal is back. Come on.
Come on.
Bloody on. He's been named as the new manager of the Netherlands. And because of that, Andy Brassel has donned his Euro 88 original Netherlands shirt. Andy, you must be delighted.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting. And when I say it's exciting, I mean there's potential for headlines and amusement because
yeah, exactly. It's exciting for us.
The Netherlands have come out of a not great place. Not that going out of the last 16 is the worst possible result in a tournament, but Frank de Boer never really got his feet under the table. He was ripped by pundits in the Netherlands throughout the tournament for not playing 4-3-3. I mean, of course, Big Louis could not play 4-3-3 and he would get away with it because he's such an incredible personality. Plus, he took his team to the latter stages of a World Cup playing with 5/3 at the back. De Boer was never going to pull it off. Mm. I mean, in one way, it's the probably most logical possible result of what's happening at the moment, which is that there's not a huge lot of coaching talent in the Netherlands. Mm. And that's been a concern for a very long time. Now, we're lucky that Ronald Koeman fell in their lap, losing the Everton job at the point that he did. But Big Louis is going to make his moments. I just wonder how he's going to sell it to Mrs. van Gaal, because apparently she was quite annoyed when he went back on a promise to retire before, wasn't she?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. This third spell as Netherlands boss, it comes 4 days before his 70th birthday. Let's be honest. The man is so he's full of energy. He's full of beans. He's never going to retire, is he, Peter?
It's a bit like Janice and Chandler, isn't it? He's just going to keep on becoming the Netherlands manager. But like, you look at like, you know, Ajax, like Bayern, Man United, like his quality of club
Barcelona
and team has never really dropped, and Barcelona has never really dropped, has it? Really, his managerial record. He refuses to accept B grade clubs. He's got a B grade national team right now, you would say, but they obviously got a lot of pedigree. But I like the fact that it's a little bit, Andy, what am I right in saying, it's a little bit of unfinished business, because you know, moving to Manchester United at the time that he did, that job became open, and he kind of had to take that opportunity.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the first time around, it went really badly. Second time around was a lot more successful. But I think when you look at the Dutch national team, it's not just about them entertaining us on the field. It's about them entertaining us off the field. The way Dutch football culture debates philosophical questions never ceases to be entertaining. And why Van Gaal is the ultimate match to that is because he has his very strong own opinions. They're different from other people's, and he absolutely will not back down as well. and that won't have changed just because he's not been working for the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I do love a good Dutch debate.
There was a lovely moment last month where he managed Telstar. Did you see that? Where you could buy a lottery ticket and you could become Van Gaal's assistant for the match. And I think abusing that poor assistant just gave him that vim and vigour, and he just wanted to get back into management. He's like, oh yeah, I remember how crazy this is.
this is what I've been lacking.
Well, this is what I've been lacking.
This is his first job since getting sacked by Man United in 2016. That seems crazy that he's been out of the game for 5 years, because he's ever present.
not on our watch, he isn't. No, he's very much part of our
I'm very
chat.
Much looking forward to Ashley Young being naturalized as a Dutchman and playing left wing back for them at the 2022 World Cup.
That would be great. Gentlemen, at Manchester United itself, the Paul Pogba transfer saga is sort of rumbling away. It's been quite quiet, obviously, with Jack Grealish and Harry Kane. We've been sort of focused there. Maybe that's why. Maybe Danny Ings, there's been loads of chat about it, but because of Grealish and Kane, we've just been totally sidetracked. But the latest is that Manchester United and PSG's valuations, definitely not PSV, PSG's valuations are miles apart. I always assume that
even
there's
further apart for PSV.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always assume that there's a transfer saga with Pogba, Andy, but I was sort of slightly unaware that that this had a few legs in it.
Yeah, well, he's coming to the end of his contract. It's never 100% clicked at Manchester United. So it wouldn't be an enormously surprising. It's always quite interesting when you see the Paris Ultras kick off about something like this, which they have, because their influence has obviously waned a little since Paris Saint-Germain have become a global concern. So I think it's something that would be a bit inconvenient and annoying for the club, but it's definitely not going to stop them making the deal if indeed there is a deal to be made. I mean, the thing is, the way he played during Euro 2020, I don't know what you guys thought, but he was so good during that. It just makes it more frustrating all over again, even as a non-Manchester United fan, that you don't see that every single week. I want him to be in the environment, wherever it is, where that works.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think, like, it's interesting from Manchester United's side. Like, in what other like walk of like business life would a floated company allow such a huge financial asset to go in a year's time for Bupkis? Absolutely sod all. Like, it's football is just insane, isn't it? Like, this guy could be worth 45, 50 million, and then in a year's time, worth fuck all. Like, how do they get away with doing this to their investors? It's insane.
Yeah, well, you want to have a go at old Bosman, don't you?
I do, yeah. I do, actually.
He ruined everything, didn't he?
Everything. He ruined everything.
Well, leave him alone. I'm batting for the Dutch today.
Yeah, the PSG ultras, they're not ultras, the PSG people, apparently they were putting up banners outside the Parc des Princes saying, Pogba, you should listen to your mother. She doesn't want you here. Neither do we. Because apparently his parents are Marseille fans, and he said previously that he wouldn't play for PSG. So
back then, everyone supported Marseille because
not me, mate.
They were the dominant team. They won the league five times in a row. They got to two European Cup finals in 3 years. I mean, you know, for all we know, they're casual Marseille fans. I guess the way a lot of people would have been in those days. I think this is absolute nonsense.
Andy, this seems like something that you need to investigate. You need to go and sit down, interview Mr. and Mrs. Pogba, and then take your findings back to these PSG fans and go, no, you've got it all wrong. They're casual Marseille fans, okay? He would die for this shirt if he played for us.
Do you remember when the Pogba brothers played against each other in the Europa League when Florentin played Paul? And it was Manchester United and Saint-Etienne in the Europa League a couple of years back. And their mum wore is something that Donny would definitely wear, actually. it was a split stitched together.
Rangers and
Manchester
Celtic
United. half Manchester United, half Saint-Etienne. I mean, I don't know how you came to the decision when you crafted your own masterwork, Pete. But, I mean... Mm. To me, if I was one of them brothers, I would have taken a look at it and thought, hang on, she's got the half with the St. Etienne badge on. She must support them more.
Well, it is political, isn't it? I mean, in a million ways. You know, in the Glasgow show, I did the Celtic Rangers top. I also did a Liverpool Everton top. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, myself, Mrs. Pogba, mm-hmm. are just trying to bring everyone together.
Yeah.
People just don't want to come with us. You know, people just do not want to come with us.
No. And I was very keen for us to do a live show in Pyongyang to see what you could have done there. Yeah. But I think that bringing people together is your forte, Peter. And I give you all the credit in the world for doing so. Gentlemen, can we move on to Barcelona? Because... Lionel Messi is expected to sign a new Barcelona contract later this week. I sort of thought he'd already done it. I thought that saga had kind of had gone, but this has been a saga that's been rolling on for quite a long time. But was it inevitable, Andy, that he was going to just sign for Barcelona and that was the end of that?
Well, no one else can afford him, or no one else has the desire to plough that much money in to a 34-year-old who they'll have to build their team around, even if he's the greatest player arguably to have ever played the game, as we've said before. I mean, that line that you just said about he's expected to sign his new Barcelona contract later this week, that could have been copied and pasted from anyone of the last 3 weeks.
There's this
assumption. I mean, it's an extraordinary situation, and we've said it before, but it is worth saying again, that the greatest player of all time has been out of contract for what I make it nearly 5 weeks now.
Yep.
And there's just been this assumption that he's not going anywhere. Now, clearly...
And people are buying Danny Ings. Danny Ings!
Yeah.
So would it be... They shouldn't even be chairman.
No.
They shouldn't be.
Would it be similar to that situation with the chap from Newport County we spoke about? What's his name? Kevin
Ellison.
Yeah. Would it have been similar if Messi scores in a pre-season game? Then would it go down as trialist then if he's out of contract?
Let's hope so. I mean, that would be pretty fantastic. I mean, it would be a miracle if he played at the weekend, seeing as he's still, I think, on holiday on a boat sailing near Fizzer's mansion at the moment.
Tell you what.
No, he's not. He's in Ibiza. I'm only playing with you.
He is.
But I mean, you know, he's very much in holiday mode at the moment. But what Barcelona have to look at is not just getting him back in training and getting him fit. They need to look at the 31st of August deadline for registering players with La Liga and the deadline 2 days after that for registering players with the Champions League. Mm. I mean, you know, they can threaten legal action so they can find a loophole and all the rest of it. If they don't make those two, like, what sort of a team are they going to have? They're not going to be able to register any of the other players. You look at Memphis, a point that Dermot Corrigan made in The Athletic, which I thought was quite an interesting one. Memphis has not been assigned a squad number yet. He's been playing very well in the preseason games with the number 11 shirt in it. And if you're Moussa Dembélé, you're like, I'm only injured. I haven't left.
I love it. Crowbar in Memphis
it's
into
chaos.
The show.
It's
Crowbar in your beloved Memphis into the show, Andy.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, I think, much more intriguing than the Lionel Messi stuff. La Liga have just had an injection of £2.3 billion from a private equity firm called CVC. Where's that come from? They just found that they've got some magic beans to sell. What's
get that muck in my arm? aren't CVC like they sell medicine in America? I'm thinking of sales at CVS.
I would like to speculate. What's this all about, Andy?
It's not great for a sporting body, is it? I mean, you have to think that eyes in France, with their TV deal collapsing and maybe looking at this at the moment, I suspect they wouldn't be getting quite the same rate. But, you know, this is where we move, I think, more definitively from sport to entertainment.
Yes.
I think it's quite concerning.
Yeah. There's obviously a little bit more detail that will kind of be finalised and sold and so forth. But
it would be easy to sell to the clubs, I think, Marcus.
Well, Barcelona are expected to receive £230 million, which will obviously allow them to register Messi again. We can keep him.
Can we have an advance? I know we haven't signed the contract yet.
Lionel, we've got enough cash to keep you for another 6 months. Well, is that good enough? We'll see how we go after that. Yeah, I mean, it is very, very, very interesting with that sort of money coming to La Liga and so on and so forth. As I say, we'll have to wait and see with some of the finer details. At Real Madrid, though, they've yet to make a big summer purchase. We know that they're partial to that. Even if they don't need it or don't have the cash, they tend to just have a go anyway. But there was an incredible clip from El Chiringuito where they had they brought in a non-verbal communication specialist to explain whether a single screenshot, not even a footage, not even a clip, a single screenshot of Kylian Mbappe in an interview with Neymar, would it show if he was unhappy at PSG? After 3 minutes, this woman concluded... Three whole minutes. She concluded, it is not clear.
Get a magic eight ball in. Outlook cloudy. Enjoyable.
Oh dear.
I want to see her just like looking at pictures from like football past.
Yeah.
To see if she's not familiar with the actual, you know, Peter Beasley's willy popping out, Paul Scholes' testicle. Are they happy?
Are they
happy where they are? Is that a happy little ginger willy? Who knows?
Iker Casillas lifting the World Cup trophy. Is he happy?
Is he happy?
Having studied this picture for a whole weekend, I think he was very happy in that moment. Yes, excellent. We've got that. We've put the kettle on that one.
I love this. Peter Beagrie's erection.
Hang on, where was that?
Didn't Peter Beagrie get an erection? Like, so, was it?
Are you thinking of Steve Lomas?
I am thinking of Steve Lomas.
Was that in front of the West Ham fans, apparently?
He was just solid celebrating, and his jug was caught in a rather uncompromising pointy position.
Please
after he'd
don't
a goal.
Send in your favourite erections to show at footballramble.com.
Well, I don't think anyone was going to.
Send it to me, mate.
Yeah, Pete at football.
At Pete Donaldson. make my afternoon.
Andy, I don't think anybody was going to do that until you said. Speaking of trying to predict things and actually no, I don't think I'll go there. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble today. It's been an absolute pleasure. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Peter and Luke for some Friday fun tomorrow. We will be previewing the opening weekend of the EFL and the Community Shield, actual proper football. I know this Champions League preliminary crap. look forward to that one indeed. Until then, thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack. for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.